Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm JJ Jenk. I'm your host for Brain Power Up, and our topic today is tax strategy for creatives and how the RV life fits in. And our leading lady today is Penny Rose with C5 Foam Services. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, JJ. I'm so excited to be here and share a little bit about tax strategy.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm happy to have you. Penny, just for our listeners, Penny supports creative professionals through her small business tax strategy firm focusing on content creators, course creators, and coaches. Penny is currently enjoying a phased retirement after completing a successful 20-year career as a forensic accountant in June 2023. She and her husband made the decision to pursue early retirement thanks to the personal finance and full-time RV living content they consumed. Now Penny is devoted to supporting content creators as they produce transformative content that has the potential to positively impact the lives of others. And I'll tell you, Penny, I work with a lot of CPAs and other accountants, bookkeepers, whatever, in the tax space. And I'm so intrigued by the fact that you used to be a forensic accountant. So can you tell us a little bit about what that entails and how you decided to retire from that job?
Yeah, I would love to talk about that. I was a forensic accountant in law enforcement, so the forensic part of my job meant that I went on the witness stand in federal court and explained how the money flowed in and the money flowed out of the bad guy's account. And and as part of that, I would review their tax returns. And so if it related to a business, I would review their QuickBooks. And so I gained a lot of the tools and confidence that I use in my own practice now. And I am very fortunate that there's a somewhat of an unusual opportunity to leave service without actually collecting a pension, leave a little bit early. And it just worked out that I was at the right age and the right number of years of service to do that. Mm. And thanks to COVID, we had the first opportunity the FBI had ever had to work from home. And so I knew it was something that I could do. And we had already, prior to COVID, we had already purchased an RV and we were already living in it full time. And we had already simplified everything that we could. And so it was a confluence of, the lifestyle that we're living, the skills that I gained, and the opportunity to basically lock my pension in, even though I wasn't old enough to start receiving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice. I remember when my dad was offered early retirement, and he did not take it because my dad didn't have like hobbies and things outside of work. Mm-hmm. He was a workaholic. So, mm-hmm. So let me ask you. So, were you? Because you mentioned in the intro, you mentioned about kind of learning about personal finance. So, were you researching the FIRE strategy? The financial independence retire early movement. Did you have anything to do with that?
Yes. Yeah, so at Cornell, I took a class called Personal Financial Management way back when, and I scored high enough at the time that I was allowed to be a teaching assistant the next time it was offered. And so given the fact that my parents named me Penny, and I went to Cornell and studied economics, and then went into banking, and in banking I was a mortgage underwriter, so I spent a lot of time seeing unfortunate financial situations, and then I became an accountant. And so throughout that entire time until I retired, I have been very active in a personal finance space.
Yeah. So there's a movement called FIRE, which is like financial independence, retire early. So I was just kind of wondering about that.
Yep.
I was going to ask you. Oh yeah. So had you always dreamed of living in an RV, or was that something kind of new to you when you, we're thinking about early retirement, or, how did that play in?
Well, it's funny. I never thought about moving into an RV until right before I transitioned from being an accountant to working for the FBI. And the way that it works when you get into the FBI is that you have to continue to live your life as if it's not going to happen, but don't be so excited about how you're living your life that you're unwilling to walk away from it when they call you and tell you that you have 2 weeks to get everything wrapped up and show up in Virginia. So one of the things that I was seriously looking into it right before that transition came through, where I knew that I was eventually going to get into the FBI, I fully considered moving into an RV at that point. And I'm glad I didn't back then. So basically that was like 21 years ago, 22 years ago, because there weren't the opportunities to have virtual businesses. You know, the internet mobility just wasn't there. And, back then, not everybody even had a cell phone. So it was, but always in the back of my mind, I've always, thought that was a possibility. And I'm so thankful that my husband didn't think I was crazy when I brought it up. And so the way that we work is that neither one of us, tries to react when the other person says something crazy.
How you keep your marriage alive, is just pretending that the other person isn't crazy?
Yeah. And so you hear something, like I was the one that brought it up, and then I just put it out there, and he didn't look at me like I was crazy. So good job on him. And then, a few months later, he threw it out, the same thing. And I was like, oh, I'm definitely not crazy if he's throwing it out like it's something that he would consider. And we thought we were only going to start when we actually retired, which is like our plan, our target retirement date still hasn't occurred yet. I mean, that's how early we are into retirement. So we thought, well, maybe we'll, because we're Florida residents, we could live in our RV full time. I mean, there are places where you can't necessarily live in your RV. Campgrounds do close, like in Virginia, it's a little bit more challenging to find. So because we were in Florida, we knew that we could move into it and be stationary. So initially we thought, okay, at retirement. Then we backed up and said, well, maybe a couple of years before retirement. And then we were, about 5 years before retirement, before we thought we were going to retire. We realized we were disenchanted being homeowners and didn't want to do it anymore. And we said, that's it. We're going to, no reason to wait. We're going to do it now.
Nice. And you said that you would move to Virginia for the FBI. Where were you, in Quantico?
So I was only in Quantico for 17 weeks, and then I went to Florida, and I was in Florida for the entire 20 years.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering. I actually grew up about 3 miles outside of Quantico. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was in Woodbridge. That's funny. Yeah, right up the road. All right. Well, and now we're going to take a quick moment to recognize one of our sponsors and partners. Women Lead Radio is brought to you today by Connected Women of Influence and our partner, Microsoft. The Microsoft mission is to empower every person and organization on the planet to achieve more. Microsoft believes technology is a powerful force for good and are working to foster a sustainable future where everyone has access to the benefits and opportunities created by technology. Microsoft believes technology can and should be a powerful force for good, and that meaningful innovation can and will contribute to a brighter world in big and small ways. Thank you for your support, Microsoft, and to all our sponsors and partners. And now back to our show. Welcome back to Brain Power Up. And with us today is Penny Rose. You know, and it's funny, we're talking about Microsoft and technology, and you were saying, you know, 21 years ago, there really wasn't the infrastructure to be living in an RV full time. Mm-hmm. And it just reminded me of that, you know, the Chris Farley sketch on SNL, you know, where he's Matt Foley living in a van down by the river. And back then, that wasn't anything to aspire to. Really quick, like, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
So I'm most active on Instagram, and my handle on Instagram is CIOFUM Personal CFO.
CIOFUM Personal CFO.
Yep. FIFEFOFUM, and then Personal CFO.
Nice.
Thank you.
And how did you decide, you know, what type of business that you wanted to have? So, like, after you were the you'd been a forensic accountant and doing, I assume you were doing asset tracing and all that stuff, and then you were like, something else.
Yeah, so it's funny because I, as a forensic accountant, I wasn't required to be a CPA, and I was a certified fraud examiner for most of the time that I worked for the FBI, and a promotion opportunity started to become available, but I had to apply for it and compete for it, and I saw all the people that were achieving the goal were CPAs, and I was qualified to, I could get approval to, you know, by a state to take the CPA exam. And I did. And initially, a friend of mine who's a CPA signed off on my, you know, my moral character for the AI CPA. And he said, aren't you like within 5 years of retirement? Is this like, you know, are you ever going to get your money back? Are you ever going to get the time back from, you know, getting your certification so late in your career? And I said, probably not, but you never know what's going to happen until
so
you
get true.
It. And as soon as I got my CPA, I started to think, there's a whole world out there that it is totally unrelated to what I was doing, and it was an option. And I went to, you know, we talked about personal finance. So there's a podcast called Choose FI, and it's for the financial independence. And they have local community clubs in different cities, and I lived in Jacksonville, Florida, and they have one of the most active Choose FI groups, and we meet at least once a month, and I went to an event, and there was a couple there that I had never met, and we went around the room and talked about what we did, and the wife of this couple that I met said, oh, I'm a virtual bookkeeper, and I about fell out of my chair. I had no idea that that would be a job that I could do or a
right.
business that I could have. And that's really where it came from.
Interesting.
And I, you know, because I'm a CPA, that, you know, thinking about virtual bookkeeping, I mean, it morphed into, you know, doing tax preparation, and then tax preparation
right.
morphed into tax strategy, which is really the, you know, one of the higher level functions that a CPA
yep.
on their own could do. And because of my interest in the financial independence community, if I chose to serve content creators in the financial independence community, I would need to do more than tax preparation or bookkeeping, because most of them think that they can do it themselves. Whereas tax strategy, I have lots of friends that are, you know, very good at, you know, they're able to do some advanced things with their taxes, but they still come to me and ask me, you know, how to say they want to hire their children in their business. They want to be able to onboard their child as a bona fide employee and then pay that child in order to make a contribution to a Roth IRA in the child's name and get a tax deduction for that. And I know how to help people with that, and that's one of the
mm-hmm.
services that I offer. And that's something that, you know, the content creators in the personal finance space are not confident that they can do themselves.
Right. And why is it so important for the moms to be able to hire the kids?
So if at any time I have the opportunity to talk to a mom about
mm-hmm.
try to draw out what they're interested in, they
mm-hmm.
have almost exclusively said they want to set up a financial legacy for their children, and they don't know, they are willing to hear whatever opportunities they can, and opening a Roth IRA in the child is one of those opportunities. And I think the number, if you were to employ your child for 10 years, which is about the maximum length of time you could do that and enjoy all
okay.
the benefits of it.
Gotcha.
The child, based on the S&P 500 growth, contributing $7,000 a year, the child would
mm-hmm.
almost have $130,000 in their Roth
nice.
IRA.
And, well,
that and
how
money,
about the...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
And that money can be used to pay their college expenses, or it could also be, some of that money could also be used for the purchase of their first home.
Right? Yeah. And I was just wondering, because you mentioned a tax deduction, so how does it benefit the moms themselves? Like, we know how it benefits the kids, but how about the moms?
So one of the funniest things that I ran into when I talk to moms about this is that they're so busy. And when I talk about their children working for them, they're like, oh, that would free me up. I could do more things. I could
right.
get some sleep.
Delegate.
I never even thought about it that way. I thought about it, you know, as being a CPA, I'm thinking, well, so IRS allows, if the business is owned by the child's parents, so it doesn't work
mm-hmm.
for a partnership between, you know, a partnership between
oh,
two moms
gotcha.
Doesn't work.
Okay.
But
okay.
a business where it's just the mom and the dad, IRS allows the mom, the business, to expense the cost of paying the child as a regular business expense. And what that does is if the mom, now this doesn't work quite as well for businesses that have chosen to be treated as an S corporation. This works
right.
best for businesses that are using the tax form in their personal tax return. It's called Schedule C. and it's within the 1040 package. So
So if they're either a solo or an LLC, then it'll work.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and it can be if mom and dad can both work for the, be a part of the company, it just doesn't work when you add another person. But, so increasing the expenses of the business by $7,000 reduces the self-employment tax, which is 15.3%.
Right.
And it reduces the overall income tax, which could be, they could easily be in the 24% tax bracket. So, the benefit of, the mom or the dad, and I really focus on moms because they're the people that are most interested in creating this situation.
Right.
If the child works for the mom, the mom does not have to pay self-employment tax for the child. The child isn't paying FICA on the amount of salary. So they're saving, the business is saving the 7.53, whatever, saving the business side of it, and the child is not having to pay the child side of it. And then because the standard deduction is so high for a single individual, the child is not having to pay income tax on the amount of money either. Additionally, up to age 21, the company that employs its child is not required to pay unemployment insurance on the child because they assume that a child is not going to get fired by the mom and then go and try to collect unemployment.
Right. Okay, yeah. So there's really a lot of savings in there for moms who want to be able to delegate some stuff out to their children and get some sleep while they're at it.
Yeah.
Well, how did you decide on your niche? I mean, how did you come to, moms and content creators and all of that?
So really, the last push that my husband and I had where we decided to, to sell the house and move into the RV was because we were watching so many people on YouTube go from being homeowners to being full-time RVers. And the content creators really showed you what was possible. Mm. And I aspire to rub elbows with these people.
Right.
And when picking a niche, that one of the best pieces of advice I got was that you should find a business that would serve the people that you want to spend the most time. And so it was
an easy
pick for me to choose to go with content creators.
Gotcha, because you've been watching all the YouTube content creators who had kind of helped you figure out how you wanted to, step forward in your new chapter. And so you're like, oh, yeah, I love these people. They're great. And now I want to work with them.
Yeah, exactly.
And is there any, are there any particular, tax strategies that you get from living in an RV? I mean, obviously you don't have to, worry about the maintenance costs you have to worry about on a home and all of that. Are there any other kind of tax benefits to it?
It's actually quite difficult to apply tax strategies to living in an RV because if you do not have another home, when you travel for business, you're still in your home. So you're not away from home.
Gotcha. So you don't get those mileage
So it can be challenging. I mean, many RVers will come to me and say, "Well, I have a business and I work from my RV. I'd like to get the home office deduction."
Right.
And I said, what part of your RV do you set aside for you to work that you don't use for anything else? And they say,
and they went, oh.
Yeah. And they say, well, you're an RVer. I can't believe you're asking me that. And I'm like, well, that's what IRS is going to ask you.
Right. Right.
So there are some, I have a client who is a full-time RVer, and she has two RVs. And she has a fifth wheel, which is one of the larger ones that is pulled behind a truck. And it's stationary in Texas where their domicile is. And then they have a truck camper that they put on their truck. And when they travel for business, they're traveling in their truck camper.
Ah,
and then their home base stays in Texas.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And then can they also deduct the truck camper as like a home office? Does that work as well or no?
What they could do with that is depreciate it.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, if they intended to depreciation can be tricky, but if they buy a truck camper and they love the truck camper and they're thinking that they're going to have that truck camper for a 5 to 10 years, then it may be worthwhile to depreciate it. But if they think they're only going to have it for a couple of years, the accelerated bonus depreciation, I think is maybe down to 70% this year. But what happens is, people take advantage of accelerated depreciation, which means, if you buy something that's $100,000 and you take bonus depreciation on it and you depreciate $70,000 of it, and then 2 to 3 years from now, that gives you a basis of like $30,000. Mm-hmm. If you go to sell that piece of what you bought for $50,000,
then you owe the taxes on the 20.
It's going to be recaptured.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. This is why you hire a tax strategist.
Right.
To explain what you can do with your camper and what's going to happen if you do one thing as opposed to another.
Yeah. And I interviewed, a potential client who had those numbers that I gave you. I mean, those are from somebody and they're A-list YouTubers. And I, and the gentleman came to me because he, his eyes popped out for how much tax he owed. And then I said, but do you realize that they bought an RV when it was 80% bonus depreciation, so they had an $80,000 depreciation expense in 1 year. And I said, do you have any idea how high your taxes would have been had you not had this depreciation expense? And he didn't know, because that's not something that a tax preparer talks to you about. That's something that a tax strategist sees. So the preparer is just looking to get the client everything that they can get for that year, and they're not looking forward to, what happens if you have all the same numbers for the next year, but you don't have that $80,000 depreciation expense.
Right. Right. Yeah. Tax strategy is helpful, because I know a couple of times, back when I was in personal finance, we'd kind of struggle because we'd have like a younger person and we'd tell them to do the Roth, and the tax preparer would be like, oh no, you should do an IRA and take the deduction. And we're like, the guy's making what, $40,000, he's not really getting much of a deduction, and he's really going to want the Roth, in 20 years when he's making a lot more. So it's definitely something different from just having somebody looking at what are this year's numbers and then, oh no, we have to think about the whole picture, really.
Yep.
And do you have any, so I know the advice about the niche to, you know, work with people that you want to work with. Do you have any other advice for business owners for their niche?
So that's really the best thing that I heard. In terms of not necessarily about how to pick, but the value of being very specific, I had mm-hmm. also heard that what you want to do is if you have an opportunity to say, speak in a large group and say, I am a tax strategist for, you know, female creators. And
right.
what you want is for people within that group that you're speaking to say, that's me.
Right.
That's me.
Right.
She's for me, as opposed to
she's talking to me. Yeah.
As opposed to I'm a tax strategist. I mean, that's not
right.
enough.
Yeah. That doesn't say, that's me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, I mean, you know, trying to, you know, and other people that own businesses may have the same struggle. There are very few people that say, oh, tax strategy. Oh, I've been waiting for that. I can't be excited about it. But
I've been waiting
for
the tax strategist to walk into my room. Yeah.
Right. But if I can say, hey, you own a business. How'd you like, you have an 8-year-old child. How'd you like to, you know, figure out a way to put $7,000 away in your child's name every year? And likely, you know, based on the S&P 500, your child is going to have $130,000, you know, by the time they're 18.
Yeah.
Then when they're all excited about that, you say that's a tax strategy. People don't associate being able to do this amazing thing with somebody that does tax strategy. So
yeah, exactly.
If you can talk to like people who are like, "Ooh, that's me. She's for me," and then say, "Hey, this is what you can do." And by the way, you know. Just so you know, that's tax strategy. No one would ever sign up.
Right. Yeah.
If they just
exactly.
Didn't.
Well, so that's great. Yeah. So just in case our listeners may want to reach you after our show, again, what's the best way for them to contact you?
So I'm most active on Instagram, and my handle is BIFOFUM, personal CFO.
BIFOFUM Personal CFO. Well, that's our show for today, and I would like to say thank you to Penny Rose for being our leading lady today, and a special thanks to all of our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally, because we are an international show. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio Show Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Thank you for listening, and have a great and brainy week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.